Welcome to another PharmaForum podcast. In this episode, I speak with Deborah Wise, COO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Medical Research Institute, or Gates MRI. From being a female leader at a non-profit organization working to bring novel biomedical interventions into existence to address global health concerns for which investment incentives are limited, to the core requirements of a successful and expert team and the recent news and hope for a potential tuberculosis vaccine, our conversation might be brief, but it is wide-ranging and offers a perhaps nicely balanced exploration of themes as Women's History Month comes to a gradual close this March. Embrace opportunities, Wise says for our female listeners, and support each other. Don't put yourself in a box. Indeed, and applicable across the genders. As ever, thank you for listening. This is web editor Nicole Raleigh, and today I have with me Deborah Wise, COO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Medical Research Institute, or Gates MRI, a non-profit organisation dedicated to the development and effective use of novel biomedical interventions to address substantial global health concerns for which investment incentives are limited. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's actually a pleasure to be here and talk with you about the MRI.
So on that subject, Gates MRI, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, works through collaborating partners and organisations, coordinating and driving the full spectrum of biopharmaceutical development activities, including preclinical development, full clinical development from phase one through two and including phase three, and global regulatory interactions. Gates MRI focuses on programs aimed at reducing the burden of such diseases as TB or tuberculosis, malaria, diarrheal diseases, and maternal, newborn, and child illnesses worldwide, and specifically in low- and middle-income countries, or LMICs. But Deborah, to kick things off, perhaps you could tell us a little about your journey to today, working at Gates MRI. In your role as Chief Operating Officer, you provide strategic and operational support to achieve business objectives in compliance with Gates MRI and industry standards for data integrity, safety, and quality. But what was your road to here to now like? I believe you come from a nursing background, is that correct? And that you also lecture?
That is correct. Yeah. So I went to the university and got my nursing degree. I got my master's in nursing as well. And I was at a university hospital in Philadelphia, actually running as study coordinator, doing clinical trial activity. And that was my first sort of exposure, if you will, to the whole clinical research world. I went from there actually to Merck & Company, and that was a great place to work. I learned a lot about clinical research. And then I went to a much smaller company called Shire Pharmaceuticals. And that was actually a great opportunity to really roll up my sleeves, if you will, and to really start getting back to writing standard operating procedures and being able to wear sort of multiple hats. And then after that, when I actually left Shire, it was actually when I was consulting at a company when it was about May of 2017 that I was asked to speak with somebody from the foundation, and they had this vision of creating this not-for-profit company called the MRI. And so I chatted with them, and soon enough, back in, you know, the fall of that year, 2017, I ended up becoming the first hire. I wasn't the first employee. That first employee was the CEO that came from the foundation, Penny Heaton, but I was actually the first hire. And there were six of us that actually started on January 2nd of 2018 when the doors opened here in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Gosh, that's quite something. So you've basically been with it from the beginning then?
I have. I've seen the complete evolution from when we started out really focusing more on the translational and then actually, you know, bringing us and evolving to actually doing the phase three work. So I've been here from the beginning. And you'd also mentioned that I do teach. I'm an adjunct professor at Temple University. They have a pharmacy school and they have a regulatory affairs quality assurance program. I'd actually started teaching there 20 years ago. It's actually been 20 years, teaching a class on drug development to graduate students. And then I had actually transitioned to teaching good clinical practices. And so I still do that. And that's been phenomenal. It's great. It really requires that I keep up on the regulations and the guidances. And as my lead, and we'll talk, I think, a little bit, you know, later about my leadership style, I believe leaders are teachers. And so I finally can pull that together from my teaching and then being here as well at the Institute.
Absolutely. Yes, we will come onto that in a second. I was just wondering, though, given your role at Gates MRI from that foundational stage, could you perhaps comment upon some of the more sort of milestone moments of what it's been doing since then?
Absolutely. So when the six of us started, the first year was really one to really think about the talent that we needed internally or externally and hire and recruit for that talent. So the first year was a lot about the talent that we needed and recruiting for that. It also was about establishing our quality management system. We needed to have the right policies and procedures in place that would work for us. So a lot of time was actually establishing that as well. And the third piece of it had to do with, really, you mentioned that we're a wholly owned subsidiary of the foundation. Another piece of that was really the interactions and the interfaces that we had with the foundation, because our portfolio really is in partnership with the foundation. And looking at the science and the interactions with the foundation and how we would sort of work together. And so, again, opened our doors January 2018. Our first patient in was actually the following year, in November of 2019. So for the first, 18 months or so, we really were looking at, again, establishing the policies, procedures, getting the right talent in, and understanding the science and understanding our interactions with the foundation.
Thank you. So talking about the right talent, a while ago, I spoke with Mike Dunn, Chief Medical Officer and Head of Development at Gates MRI, and he noted that a key part of the organization's operational excellence is indeed its expertise. Now, as you and I speak today, we're still in Women's History Month. So, Deborah, as a female leader in the industry, and notably at Gates MRI, an organization where your responsibilities might not be the same as for other COOs, what insights can you share with us on what that experience is like? And can you impart any wisdom for perhaps younger listeners who are earlier on in their careers?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Mike's absolutely correct. You know, at the MRI, we really do need to focus on people that have the experience and the talent. And it's not just a subject matter expertise. There's also about your ability to collaborate, to problem solve, to get to root cause, analysis, understanding, being curious about different ways of working, because what may have worked in another company may or may not work here. And so one of those things that I think about when we're looking for folks is, like, again, I'm a COO here, which at another company probably wouldn't make sense because they have commercial product or they're trying to raise funding. It's different here. We don't have to do that. And so for me, when I came, I initially was just heading up R&D, quality assurance, and then, eventually had sort of organically started taking on more and more. And, I think what makes me successful is not so much my subject matter expertise in the various organizations within my remit. It's really my ability to lead, partner with the team, hire really good talent, collaborate, team build, all of that, which I think sometimes we don't look at when we hire people. We're going after that subject matter expert. But I think, and I tell other, women and, the folks that I mentor is, make sure we're developing those softer skills and not just about your expertise. I don't think your expertise necessarily will make you the most successful leader. I think it's a lot about actually seeing the big picture, being able to set the strategy, and then also then being able to lead, develop, and all of that. I think, honestly, that's what makes me more successful in my role. I say the higher you go, it becomes less about your subject matter expertise and more about your softer skills.
So thinking about that big picture, as alluded to earlier, one focus of Gates MRI is the tuberculosis field. And yesterday, it was announced that a huge and much anticipated phase 3 trial of a new TB vaccine kicked off in South Africa, sponsored to the tune of $550 million by the Gates Foundation and Wellcome Trust and supported by GSK. The M72 vaccine was originally developed by GSK, which licensed it to the Gates Foundation in 2020. And if effective, it could potentially become the first new vaccine for preventing pulmonary TB, an active form of the disease, in more than 100 years. So I was just wondering, Deborah, can you comment on how important this all is?
Yeah, so thank you. This is a fantastic question. We're having such a fantastic week here at the MRI. This is a hugely impactful study. You had mentioned about the impact that this has with 10.6 million people, you know, fall ill with TB. And in 2022, 1.3 million people actually died. And so not only the impact it will have to these families and these lives of these people that have been impacted, this was our first phase 3 study. And so, you know, we've been doing this now. We're 6.5 years in. We created our foundation of a quality management system and the ability to execute. Now we're partnering with other companies. And we have really, I feel, have demonstrated our ability to actually participate in this type of work. And so for us, it's a huge, huge celebration on many, many fronts.
It's inspiring, if I put it in one word myself, Deborah. So thank you for that overview of your role as a female leader within Gates MRI and how it might be a little bit different given what the organisation does. And thank you also for commenting on what is, as you say, going to be hugely impactful to many, many people. I was just wondering if you have any closing thoughts for listeners on any of the themes we've explored today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, given that it actually is Women's History Month, I do feel that, you know, I want women, I want people in general, but in particular women, to realize that they have many options and possibilities. And when I started out in my nursing career, I never would have thought that I would have ended up where I'm at. And the reason I actually really resonated with coming here to the MRI when I did is because of our impact that we can make on people and patients. And it really brings you back to my nursing days. And so I love that. I love being more sort of, you know, impacted by that. But I don't want women to sell themselves short that they have a degree and whatever their degree is. It's really about how you can leverage and use that degree. And I don't think it's about having necessarily a 5-year plan. I've never been big with that. Like, I know exactly where I'm going to be in 5 years. I really want to be challenged. I want to learn. I want to grow. In my career, the reason I ended up here is because doors opened for me that I wasn't even sure were going to open, and just really tried to get experience. And I ended up, you know, in a place that I absolutely love. So I asked people, I think women should be open to where their future can take them. I think they need to build their skills and their toolbox and not just have one sort of end game in mind. And I think when they're open to that, embrace the opportunities, I think a lot can happen. We here at the MRI have, you know, 5 women on our MRI leadership team, which is amazing. I think that's fantastic. And then we actually have 4 out of 5 members of our board are women. So I feel surrounded by fantastic women. And one of our co-chairs, obviously, is an amazingly strong woman. So we can support each other, and there's lots of opportunities. Don't put yourself in a box. There's a ton that we can do and can continue to do.
Perfectly put. Thank you, Deborah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And so that concludes another episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. You can find out more information about this episode, including a download link and information about previous installments of the series at pharmaforum.com/podcasts. The Pharma Forum podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, and Podbean, where you can find and subscribe by searching for Pharma Forum. Of course, don't forget to visit our website itself, where you can sign up for daily news and analysis bulletins, and follow us on Twitter, or X nowadays, at Pharma Forum. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.